You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off the show with how the markets have moved throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to take a look at the market movements. Good evening, Uncle David. Happy 2025 to you. It's lovely to catch up as always. I wish it were under better circumstances, but to be honest, you and I kind of anticipated this coming into this Trump presidency that we could be in for anything.
Look, it's really unsettled at the moment. I mean, when I read about his son or these comments about him wanting to annex Canada and then his son in Greenland, you know, you've got to shake your head and say, you know, where are we going? And it is disturbing. I didn't think it would be. I must be honest. I thought it would be a much more muted entrance. But at the moment, markets are unsettled. And I think the other thing that's unsettling market, remember last year when we had the Fed cut rates by 50 points and then another 25, and we thought, okay, we're going to continue that. All of a sudden, that view has changed as well. And now there's a hope of only, you know, there's a view of only one or maybe two rate cuts at the moment. So I think the markets are trying to digest, oh, well, you know, rates higher for longer, what does that mean? So a lot of, the waters are very troubled as we've entered into 2025. No one's quite sure of what lies ahead.
We are only 8 days in and already there is this much chaos. President Trump hasn't officially even taken office. No. Uncle David, you mentioned on your, I believe it was your LinkedIn page, U.S. exceptionalism would be this year's catchphrase. And I mean, obviously that suggests that the U.S. dominance from an economic perspective is set to continue. How much of that do you think will be down to actual U.S. dominance, and how much of it do you think will be the markets also starting to shift away from the noise that is Donald Trump and his commentary? Because we saw this in his first term, that he's capable of making a lot of noise with very little to follow.
Well, that's what we got to watch for. You know, will he follow through with it? He's not going to say at this stage, no, I'm not going to do it. You know, that's him. He likes to shake things up. He's not the kind of person, you know, you want to bring to meet your sister or anything like that. You know, he's a character that causes disturbances. I'm trying to think of an appropriate word. And that's, you know, get used to it. Get used to him. And he's got his little mini-me, Mr. Musk, also running around causing unbelievable trouble, you know, trying to run Germany, trying to run the UK. And sooner or later, he's also going to have his say in what should be happening in America. So, I must say we're looking askance. But Jimmy, in all fairness, you know, you've got a lot of changes. The Canadian president resigns. You've had changes all around the world. So, you try to think straight against that background. But just one point, it is going to be a decent year. You know, certainly in the U.S., we don't see, with this kind of exceptionalism, I don't think we're going to, you know, you're going to see corporates coming out with pretty decent results. I don't think there's anything that's going to throw that off course. The economy there is still strong. But it's all the other factors that I think that are just creating unbelievable turbulence.
The other factors actually sound like an Austin Powers movie. I mean, we do have all the relevant characters that would fit into that landscape. And I suppose that's what makes for an interesting year. You mentioned that, of course, we're going to have a good year. And we've spoken about this as well, to say we kind of went through the worst that we could go through from a market's perspective over the last even 4 years, if we take from the pandemic. It's almost as if markets can really go in one direction from here. There might be some pullback, there might be some liquidity grabs here and there, but really markets have been under so much pressure that you can't really see anything other than a good 2025 or a better 2025.
Well, rates will come down. You know, rates are going to come down. Inflation is going to come down. So, you know, from that point of view, profitability will increase because companies will have bigger margins. I think the other point I must say is that I thought that AI would start to slow down and that there'd be a broadening out of profitability in the United States. But the more I read, the more this is taking on a new life, and it's actually growing in importance and growing in investment. So I still think it's going to be another tech-driven year. You know, it's still going to be a very, very strong year in that respect. To me, the only thing that is a concern is China. You know, it's not coming through. And, you know, we're waiting at the station for the commodity train to come. And I'm saying, oh, no, please, not another year. You know, we keep hoping that it's going to come, but there's no, and we can't see it in the distance, not even the smoke or the lights or anything. And that's a concern from us, you know, from South Africa's point of view. I'm hoping what you said about Investec's view on infrastructure, that does take place, because that's very, very important for us. You know, especially if they can get private money into infrastructure, that's going to have a huge impact on our growth, you know, laying the foundation for future growth. But we need that, you know, especially when we're not seeing China coming with its commodity boom.
Uncle David, how much of China is going to continue to be a factor for the 2025 year? I mean, I'm looking at the fact that we are 8 days in, and the recent announcements for around Tencent have already rocked the market, and that's already had a ripple effect on the South African market. Do we think that there might be other areas or other geographies around the world that could be sort of offsetting against that pressure that's being placed on China?
I hope so. I hope that, you know, maybe Southeast Asia, that area, comes in and perhaps covers, particularly, let's say, on the consumer side with luxury goods and that you see, you know, strong demand from other areas coming through. Funny enough, you know, luxury goods have started to bottom and are getting used to the fact that, you know, Chinese demand will settle down at a much lower level. But it's quite important, you know, and we've seen what's happened to Europe as a result. We're watching demand for motor vehicles, watching the demand for EVs globally as well, to see whether China does have some kind of impact or not. But it is it's something that's missing, and all the attempts that they are making to get things going hasn't quite caught on. Market's still very skeptical, so we're going to watch. There are lots of people who believe it's very cheap. You know, we are having a discussion this morning. One chap at our firm said, listen, it's on a 5 PE versus US 20, you know, but it's on a 5 PE because people are nervous. But, you know, if things do swing, then, yeah, it you know, it could be a hidden factor and a positive factor. But for this, yeah, so we got a lot to talk about in the year to come.
Uncle David, what do you think is the catalyst for that? I mean, that discounted conversation has been going on for quite some time, and a lot of it has kind of stemmed from the involvement of the Chinese government in matters of markets that are supposedly supposed to be kind of a free environment that is free of political meddling. Do you think that there's something that needs to be said by the governing party in China to allay fears of markets, to say, we know we meddled the last time, but this time we promise we're not going to do it?
I don't think it's even the meddling. I think it's probably the property market there that is the biggest drag. You know, with 30-odd million people who have paid for property that can't get delivery, you know, can't get that, and massive issues around that. So I think that's what brought Japan down in the 1990s, was the collapse of the property market, and this is proving to be equally as dangerous or as difficult. So I think that's the market we're all watching for, any kind of change in the property market. They're trying to get people to spend, you know, giving you a 15% discount on phones and trying to replace your washing machines, you know, it will give you a 20% subsidy and so on. So I think they're trying all kinds of things, but market's been slow to take these things up.
What about the local market? What do we have to look forward to for the year? I mean, we've touched on the infrastructure side of it. We're hoping resources come to the party. It seems financials and industrials have been under pressure as well. Obviously, industrials being the Naspers and Prosus, but financial stocks also, the Rand also not doing too well at this stage. What do we have that's in store for us this year?
I think a worry. You know, it's we've got to work a little hard this year to get things going. We haven't, the catalyst hasn't come yet. I think we were all hoping that it would be on the commodity side, and that's not pulling through. But we've got to learn to work without it. We, you know, the companies are still operational. They're still making profits, maybe at lower levels. But But I think a lot more work has to do in getting confidence into this economy. And I don't know how to do that, Jimmy. I'll qualify it by saying we still got some very good businesses here who are still doing pretty well. If we start to see fixed investment taking place and projects of that nature taking place of a big, that in itself is has a multiplier effect on the rest of the market. What worried me, was when I saw ArcelorMittal now closing down factories. That has a negative effect. We've got to prevent those kind of things happening. It's ArcelorMittal's got a market cap of 1.4 billion. I mean, that's a mini cap. This is ArcelorMittal. This is steel mills. Hold on a sec. Something's wrong. Something's got to give. We've got to get fixed investment going. And I think you can see the same thing in the cement factories. That to me is the catalyst. And I just hope you have a good conversation with Investec, and they give you something to hope for and to move forward on.
Well,
the money's there. Hey? The money's there.
We'll certainly ask those questions. And hopefully Investec does give us those answers. But for now, we'll leave the conversation there. Thank you so much, Uncle David. Lovely to have you back. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth joining us to take a look at the market movements as well as some of the market sentiment that might be lingering around.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.